So in his first verse, 17, the main point Prabhupada is making is how the Lord always upholds the word of his devotee. So this reminds me when Srila Prabhupada was present. We read about him. We weren't there at the time. But in the one of Satsarupa Maharaj's books, Prabhupada Lilamrita, there's one book, I think it's called, or is it one section called Let There Be a Temple? And he's talking about the Lord's desire, about the devotee's desire, and how if the devotee's desire never goes unfulfilled. And because Srila Prabhupada so much desired to have a temple in Vrindavan, not only Vrindavan, but also in Juhu and at Mayapur, we read those stories. There's none of those stories. It was actually a cakewalk. It was very difficult. It went through so many obstacles. But Prabhupada desired those places to have prominent temples, and in due course of time, the Prabhupada's desire was fulfilled. He says, so there was a desire, and where there was just barren land, there became a temple. So, words to that effect. So that's the nature of devotional service, is that everything's really made on... We have so many processes, we have so many books. We're told to read these books, and sometimes we become a little bit dejected because, you know, it's not really so clear all the time. So many statements. But ultimately, they're meant to generate the proper desire in the devotee. Because with the correct desire, with the proper desire, then a devotee can achieve anything in this world. So it's dependent on the desire to please the Lord. If the desire is ultimately, no matter what we're doing, is centered on pleasing Krishna, then that desire will ultimately be fulfilled. Just with Dhruva Maharaj, we were hearing the other day, even though he had an untowards desire, because his heart was... he was a young boy, and he was serious, and he was determined to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, then Krishna fulfilled his desire also. And even when he didn't want that desire to be fulfilled, he said, okay, I don't want anything now. Now I've seen you, Lord. I'm fully satisfied. But no, Krishna also gave him his original desire. So this is the way of devotional service. Vedishu yagishu tapasu teva. Danishu yat punya padam pradistamba. Ajeti tat sarvam idam viditva. Yogi paramstanam upaicha chajam. That if we follow this path of devotional service, then we're not bereft of anything else in this world. What to speak of a devotee? It's talking about if we're a jnani, if we're a karmi, if we're one who likes to perform severe austerities, giving charity. Whatever we do in this world, Krishna will fulfill that desire. And sometimes devotees get caught up in little, you know, nonsensical desires, and they put that between the Lord and themselves. It's a great shame. Krishna will give us everything. And as we surrender to Krishna, we get things which actually we never expected, more than what we want. I remember when I was in a temple in Manchester, and infamous place, but every day, I never wanted for anything. I got too much. Who keeps giving me all these clothes? I give them away. Like that. So why is Krishna doing this? He's saying, don't worry. Just like he's preparing the pillar, and I heard one commentary, I don't know where it comes from, but he said when Hiranyakashipu said, where is your Supreme Lord? Is he in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj looked at the pillar, and he saw Nrisimhadev in the pillar waving. So I don't know where that comes from, but it's an interesting thought. This is the... Yes, he's in the pillar. But Krishna's everywhere. This is the point. So, no greater love of man. I think Gokopal used to read the Bible a lot at one time. Is that right? And does it say that in the Bible? No greater love hath man. So this is Krishna's situation, that he's the best friend. Suridam sarva bhutanam, So coming to appreciate that is our aim in devotional service. So why is that? We were saying that the devotee only desires what the Lord wants. So there's one nice verse, Sadava Ridayam Twaham, Sadanam Ridayam Mayam, Mananyat Te Najanati Naham Tebyo Manaj Api. That the Lord is always in the heart of the devotee, and the devotee is always in the heart of the Lord. And the devotee doesn't know anything but Krishna, and Krishna doesn't know anything but the devotee. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that when this is the case, he says an intimate relationship exists between the devotee and Krishna. So this is when desires are fulfilled. In a positive way, for our benefit. Otherwise, desires are sometimes... Krishna will fulfill the desires. There's no doubt about it. He's independent. What is it? In the Upanishads, it says, he's the self-sufficient philosopher. He doesn't need anybody else's help. He's got his own philosophy. He knows what philosophy is. He's a self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everybody's desires since time immemorial. So what to speak of our tiny desires? Yes, he'll fulfill them. But we have to be careful that we're like Prahlad Maharaj, not Hiranyakashipu. There's a big difference. Hiranyakashipu is getting his desires fulfilled. He wants to be the king of the universe. Vedishu Yagishu Danishu. Remember this verse. Now, if Hiranyakashipu, he asked a question, didn't he? What was that question? Anybody remember? Who's giving you all your power? A few verses ago. He couldn't believe that Prahlad Maharaj, can you imagine a little boy 5 years old, and you've got a big demon like Hiranyakashipu. I mean, even the demons of this world. Any demons in this world we can remember? Recently. Hitler. Can you imagine if you were in Hitler's presence, with just a twitch of his eyebrow, he can send you to the gallows, and he's only the king. He was only the temporary ruler for a few years, 4 or 5 years in Europe, a little bit of Asia maybe, and Africa. But Hiranyakashipu is the king of the universe. Even the demigods we read about are afraid of him. And this little boy is saying, he's completely defying him. So you can imagine what Hiranyakashipu was thinking. Such audacity, anger would know no bounds. But he hadn't got the intelligence to understand what Prahlad Maharaj was saying. I get my power from where you're getting yours. It still didn't click, and he still carried on. So this is less intelligent. This is the nature of demoniac mentality. It keeps coming and going. We have to be very careful about this, even with a devotee. That... where's it come from? Where's this demoniac mentality coming from? Jayato vishayang pungsha sangat teshuba jayate. Sangat sang jayate kama, kama krodha bijayate. That as soon as we desire anything separate from Krishna, then we also start to develop this mentality. And this is why they say spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Because in any situation, we can make the wrong choice. We can serve our senses subtly and not serve Krishna's senses. So, actually, I was reading the other day that even if we serve Krishna directly, we service to Krishna. So, when we're serving the material energy, it's service to Krishna. So, how is that? How are we serving Krishna? Through his material energy. We serve Krishna in both ways. And interestingly enough, Prabhupada writes, we serve our senses. We serve our senses. And who is the master of the senses? Rishikena, Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. So Hiranyakashipu, he wants to serve his senses. His very name is actually an epitome of serving the senses. Hiranya, gold. What do people want in this world? Gold, soft bed, and women. And also the other thing that Lord Chaitanya tells us to avoid is na danam, na janam, na sunrim. Also, very dangerous for a devotee and which is really making Hiranyakashipu very angry, his followers. As soon as we get a little bit of recognition into it, we get a little bit of recognition for service or something, and immediately this spoils our meditation. So in this world, it's full of these three things. So this is a devotee's battle, like Hiranyakashipu. We're trying to overcome these things. Why? Because the material world, for instance, what is it running on? What's making the material world turn? The main thing. We've just mentioned both things, actually. Money and sex desire. If we notice that I don't know whether I mentioned it last time, but if you go in the local, what's the biggest, which are the biggest, which are the biggest, Asda or Tesco? They're both in competition, aren't they? If you go in, I noticed I went in the other day, and usually the people who are on the, putting things on the shelves, they don't really take much notice of you. But now when you go up to them and you ask them, do you know where so-and-so is? They like to come in, they'll take you by the hand, they'll take you to it. On the till, they say, good morning, thank you. You think, wow, this movement's starting to take effect. People are becoming purified. But then a little bit of thought, oh, wait a minute. And then you look on the shelves, and it shows the price of the commodity in that particular store. Then it'll quote the adversary's price, a few pence higher. This is why they're doing it. They're doing it because of money. Everything's based on money. It's all superficial. And what's making that? Why do they want money? So we can enjoy like Hiranyakashipu. So in this way we can see that we've got the only friend in this world is the devotees of the Supreme Lord. And ultimately, at the end of life, the Supreme Lord himself. So our next point here in this verse, in the previous verse to this, is it says that the Lord is situated everywhere, because Hiranyakashipu is asking, is he in this pillar? In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had he exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. So this is another sign of Hiranyakashipu's lack of intelligence. When we were saying Jayata Vishayam Pungsha, that when we contemplate sense objects, we can understand that we get diverted from Krishna, but also that verse says that we become bewildered. So, Mayata Tamidam Sarvam Jagat Avyaktamurtina Matstani Sarvabhutani Naham Teshu Avashtitaham. That Krishna is saying that I'm inside of everything and outside of everything. There's not a thing in this material universe that is separate from me. So how is it that Hiranyakashipu is trying to rule the whole universe? This sense gratification we've just been talking about. So this is, it can be used in a positive way though. We use the sense objects and we tend to drag us down, is that right? And we all know the process, okay, we've heard it so many times. We engage everything in Krishna's service. Yeah, I know, we engage everything in Krishna's service. And we also know that in the association of devotees, topics about the Supreme Lord are very satisfying to the heart and ear, and we become advanced. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving in devotees, we make advancement in devotional service. But generally the senses are always our adversary. And if we don't, what about if we don't have that type of association so often? This is very much the case in Grihastha life within the movement, that Grihasthas may not get the association that the devotees get in the temple. And so sometimes we can see that this may be a setback, and it very often is. So but we can take heart that I was thinking about the 11th canto. We can take an example from one particular Brahmin in that canto, that even if we're attracted by the senses like Hiranyakashipu, that we can turn that around. The Bhagavad Gita is telling us that. Raso amap sakuntiya prabhasmi sasishurya. Shabdake purusham nishu. What's the last one? Shabdake purusham nishu. Karmasmi barata. Anyway, it's about karma, about the shabdake. Purusham. Yeah. Sarva Vedishu. I am the sound in it. I am the Vedas, sound of the Vedas. So Bhagavad Gita is telling us all these things. So in the Uddhava Gita, which is the parallel to the Bhagavad Gita, it goes into more detail. These are inanimate things that Krishna's or Prabhupada referring to in the Bhagavad Gita. But the Avanti Brahman in the Uddhava Gita, he was actually a very successful businessman in the line of Hiranyakashipu. He wasn't using it in a God-conscious way. You see, so this Avanti Brahman was a very successful businessman, and he was following in the same dynasty as Hiranyakashipu. He didn't use it in Krishna's service. But we know the nature of this material world, that nothing lasts, and in due course of time, providence had its way. His wife and children became averse to him, and he lost everything. So there's one thing happens when we lose everything. What's that? Prabhupada used to quote that verse. He said, when the Lord particularly is very satisfied with somebody, or when we get the Lord's mercy, when we're very fortunate, he says he takes everything away. He takes away all our wealth, and then the friends and relatives of that poor soul all abandon him, and he suffers one misery after another. So this is what's in store, is it? Well, this is what was in store for the Brahmin. He felt that. But what happens when everything's taken away? What's taken away as well? We've got nothing to worry about anymore. So this Brahman realised he was really irritated. Then he said, well, wait a minute. Let's make the best of a bad bargain. And he started to think this is a good way to surrender. He surrendered to Krishna. He surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And he started taking... And at that time, King Nimi came by. I think it was King Nimi. And he was a very pious king. And he could see this person, he's been in my kingdom for a long time, he's lost everything, he's never been religious, and yet he's so satisfied. I can't understand. And so he began to ask him, but he could see this is a saintly person by his demeanour. He's become very saintly. But he never reads any of the Shastras. So what is it? And then he realised, he asked a question very nicely, and he pleased this Brahman. The Brahman said, I'll tell you a story about my life. And he started relating how he deals with the material energy. If you remember, we were talking about how in this material world, especially a devotee who lives away from the temple, then he tends to be caught up by the material energy. And that demoniac side may come out. But this Brahman was showing how to see everything in relation to Krishna in a practical way. Seeing the Lord everywhere. Prahlad could even see Hiranyakashipu in the pillar. But Hiranyakashipu, he was devious. He couldn't see the Lord anywhere. And so this Avanti Brahman is giving us an idea how to develop this vision of Prahlad Maharaj. So what, any examples from his... Anybody remember the story of the Avanti Brahman? What, he used to see one thing. One Pingala. He came across a prostitute. Can you imagine? You can't find anything more materially motivated or degrading. So we'll start with the most degrading thing. Just like Hiranyakashipu. He likes soft beds. So this Brahman, he could even see Krishna in the prostitute. And he told a story of how he noticed one prostitute. She was stood at the door of her house and she'd got all made up so she looked attractive for men. And it was early in the evening and she was very expectant. She was meditating very, very diligently on every man who went by. Maybe this one. Maybe this one. And the time was ticking by. And she was still keeping her expectations up. And she was even thinking in a romantic way that this occupation was romantic. You know, Maya is so bewildering. And eventually, as time went on, she became a little dejected. And then after some time, it got to midnight and the person stopped going by and she became completely disgusted. And she became completely detached. She got no means of supporting herself. And yet, at this point, she surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And she became a devotee. So in disappointment, in material disappointment, Pingala showed how spiritual life can blossom. This is the lesson that Avanti Brahma learnt from this. So Prahlad Maharaj is in a very difficult situation. And so he's got this mentality that Krishna is present. Bhayam dviti abhinivasita syat. While ever we're actually seeing things separate from Krishna, then we are in a fearful condition. So this is fear. Fear or anxiety in our lives are because somehow or other we've let Krishna slip out of the equation. When we don't have anything, then it's very easy to put Krishna into the equation and feel satisfied. When we have so many things, then it's very easy to develop anxiety about these things. So this is a devotee's life, is a simple life. One of only using what is actually necessary in Krishna's service. So, Avanti Brahman we were talking about, is that right? Any more examples from the Avanti Brahman? The young girl with the bangles, very good, this is a good one. Does anybody know that one? She's a poor girl. She's in a cottage, her father's gone out, and she hears a knock at the door. And she's of manageable age, so she's meditating that maybe soon I'll find a suitable husband. And so this young man comes to the door, or some young men, and she's thinking, now is an opportunity to have, audience of this young man, and sure she invited him in. And usually it says that what is a guest? A guest is somebody who, what was a Shastra, what is a guest? The example of a guest, or the definition of a guest. As good as God. We should be treating him as good as God. So this was an outlook. I was thinking of something else. He says, they always come unexpectedly. Has anybody had that experience? It's really difficult. You're doing something and somebody comes, you want to carry on what you're doing. Oh, I better do it. And, gritting your teeth, you do some service. But actually, she was very obliging, even though unexpected. But then she realised that she had to cook something for them. She asked them what they want. So they wanted something, some chapatis. They wanted some wheat flour. So she had to grind the wheat in the grinding mortar. And she started to grind, and they were in the other room. And she had bracelets on. And these bracelets were clinging together, making a chinging sound. And so she was thinking, if they hear this, they'll realise that we don't have any servants and that I'm doing the grinding of the wheat, and therefore this will put them off. They'll want to marry somebody who's more aristocratic. And so she took the bangles off until she only had two, and they were still making a noise. So she took all of them off, and only one left. And so she carried on grinding, and the story goes on. But what's the moral of the story? What did the Avanti Brahman learn from this? And what's that mean? How does it relate to a person? He says when there's two people together in this material world, there will always be what? Trouble. You can't avoid it. So what about us? We're associating as devotees. Adi devotee klesha. So, but it says in devotional service, if everybody's trying to, so I was thinking this of anti-Brahman, that actually yes, if I don't use things in Krishna's service, if I don't cooperate with other devotees, then also there'll be quarrel and argument. So therefore, I can learn from this young girl that it's okay to be on our own, but it's considered to be on our own in the association of devotees. A devotee shouldn't aspire to be alone. A devotee should aspire to be in the association of other devotees. And then, because why is there no quarrel in the association of devotees? Or why shouldn't there be any quarrel? Because they always put Krishna in the centre. They have the same desire. So this is what the Avanti Brahman learnt from this situation. Don't forget, we're talking about seeing Krishna everywhere, the same as Prahlad Maharaj did. So we can do one more example of the Avanti Brahman just to make this point. Anybody think of any others? The birds. Oh, you mean the pigeons. That's a really good one. The pigeons, these were a family of pigeons, that's right. One of the pigeons, the mother pigeon, she went hunting for food for the other pigeons, for the two young ones in the nest, and the father pigeon was hanging around nearby. And she noticed that there was one hunter, and this hunter had captured his wife in the net. And so what did he do? He was lamenting like anything. Oh no, sorry, it's the wrong way around. The two baby pigeons, while they were away, they fell out of the nest. And the hunter captured them. And the mother pigeon, being the most attached, immediately went to try and save them. But what happened? The hunter caught her also. So then the father pigeon, he was thinking about, he was so attached to family life, and he was lamenting. And because he was so absorbed in it, the hunter also took him unawares and caught him. So what was the result? No gain. Everybody's captured by the hunter. What is the biggest hunter in this world? Time. What's the daughter of time? Old age. Kalakanya. The daughter of time. That's fear. When we absorb ourselves and become too attached to our family situation, then it just breeds a fearful situation. And at the end we lose everything. So the Avanti Brahman realised that this attachment to family life, if it's not checked and tempered by spiritual life, then also this can be the cause of losing everything. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu is also losing everything. In this situation, just imagine how kind the Lord is. We were saying, quoting that verse, that the Lord fulfills all our desires. He's a self-sufficient philosopher who's been fulfilling everybody's desires since time immemorial. He's even willing to fulfill the desires of Hiranyakashipu. Can you believe it? But what does Hiranyakashipu have to do? What's one alteration he has to make? Jayato Vishayang Pungsha. He has to change his meditation. He has to stop meditating on what will please the Lord. And probably the Supreme Lord would have made sure that he got a kingdom even greater than what he had. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. His meditation was pretty similar in many ways. He was angry. He wanted a kingdom. He wanted to beat his father and his grandfather just to prove to his Saruchi that, you know, he was actually a real person worth sitting on his father's lap. He was a better king. So it's the same mentality of enjoying this material world. Hiranyakashipu also had that mentality, but he let it go the other way. His meditation became on material things. So if Hiranyakashipu could have changed his consciousness at that point, if he could have meditated, yes, everything's centered around the Supreme Lord. Become a devotee. then he would have got everything he wanted in such a way that he would never want them again. He would have got the results of all his tapasya. He stood on one leg for so many years. He would have got the results of all that. And also at the end, what would he get? He'd get Krishna. So what does Lord Nityananda sing? He sings in the Dalela Gita, in that song, The Broker, that I have a most priceless gift, this love of God. And it's just what, there's just one price. What is the price? We just develop the desire to obtain it. We just change, start changing this meditation on the material energy. Change it to using it in Krishna's service, just the way Prahlad Maharaj did. And the way Hiranyakashipu couldn't. So anyway, it's 5:30 now, so... So you're seeing the Lord everywhere and using everything in Krishna's service. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?